The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy, we sang in the responsorial song. We cry out with joy. We prayed in the opening prayer that we celebrate these days of joy. In the preface, all throughout the season of Easter, the priest says that we are overcome with paschal joy. As the people in Samaria saw the works that Philip was doing, great joy came to that city. And today that we finally get to come back to Mass as a family and gather around the holy altar and offer our lives to God through the sacrifice of the Son, we truly should be overcome with paschal joy, and the whole earth should be crying out to God with joy. Because the joy of this season should be the mark of our life. When someone looks at us, before we ever say a word, before we ever have a conversation, can they tell by the way we live our lives that we are a disciple of Christ because of the joy that we exude, because of the hope that we have? And St. Peter says, be prepared always to give a defense, to give a reason, to be able to argue for your faith and argue in the good sense of the word. Not just being an aggressor where we beat people up with what we think is true, and not simply being just laying down and let people do what they want to do, but truly entering into the dialogue about what is true and why do we act the way we do? Why do we live the way we live? St. Peter says to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. So what is that reason? He's speaking to the church. So he's speaking to each one of us here this evening. If it was a pop quiz, pull out a paper, give a defense, give a reason for the hope that is within you. What's your answer? Are you prepared to answer this question? This is the challenge that each one of us as a disciple of Christ must wrestle with, because we are presenting something to the world. In some way, we are like the stained glass, an image, an icon to the world of something. And we can simply say it's either God or anything else. And are we living that life that exudes joy and exudes hope? And this is the season of hope that we're in, this season of joy, this Easter season, where we've been celebrating the reality that Jesus was dead and now he's alive. As we've heard St. Peter say the last few weeks, as we read through the Acts of the Apostles, that this man, Jesus, who you crucified, but God raised him from the dead, made him Lord and Christ of your life. And as St. Peter was preaching the truth, the men who heard them were cut to the heart and said, "What must we do?" And Peter said, repent and be baptized. Turn your life around and surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Which is what he says at the beginning of this passage today. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And so that's another question we can ask ourselves, a point of reflection. Have I sanctified the Lord in my heart? When I think about who has possession of my heart, who have I given permission to live in my heart? Is it Jesus? Have I sanctified, meaning set apart, like I'm in a sanctuary right now, this area of the building that's been set apart for the sacrifice. And your baptism, you've been set apart. You've been sanctified in an objective sense. Subjectively, have we said yes to this invitation, to this opportunity? This is what we have in the scriptures today. And also we can see a little shift in the readings. As in 2 weeks, we will celebrate the great feast of Pentecost. This great outpouring where Jesus today in the gospel says that he will send another, send an advocate, send the truth to each one of us. So we're going to celebrate in 2 weeks. And so the readings today begin to prime us. They begin to get us ready for that. Because just like in the Acts of the Apostles, in some way, we have seen the good works of the Lord. Through our baptism, as they were baptized in that first reading, were anointed and given over to the Lord, but yet there was something missing. But yet there was something more. And so the leaders there in Samaria went to get the apostles to come, to pray, to lay hands, and to beg for the falling of the Holy Spirit, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on these people who, in some way, were separated, were not part of the promise. They were the other. But Jesus, if you remember, had told the apostles that they would be a witness to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and the ends of the world. And we see this happening. We see the prophecy of Jesus, the prediction of Jesus coming to life in the words of the scripture, coming to life in fulfillment of that psalm that we sang, that the whole earth would cry out, not just the Jews who were part of the covenant and part of the promise, but the entire world would cry out. And praise God for that, because all of us, I assume, are Gentile origin. We have been made heirs to the promise. And this is why our lives should be marked with joy, marked with hope. You know, Pope Benedict so famously wrote that the one who has hope lives differently. And so are you living differently? Are you living in such a way that someone's going to ask you, what's wrong with you? What's different with you? Why are you that way? Why don't you go along with the world in all areas of morality, all areas of whatever, of politics? Why are you different? Why do you live differently? This is the promise that each one of us has. To live in Christ. That the reality of the empty tomb is a reality. It's a true reality that the woundedness and the brokenness of our heart, the crazy ideas and dreams we have sometimes, can be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and he can set us on the right path. And we can live in hope and in joy and in peace. We can live in the light and the life of Christ. This is the promise. Beg the Lord to give you that grace. This coming Friday, we begin the great novena, the first novena, the first time we set aside 9 days for the coming of something great. And we know now they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized. Most of us, I assume, have been confirmed. We have received the fullness of the Spirit. But it's not just a one-time thing. Every time we ask, every time we beg, the Lord continually pours himself into our lives. And we can be made new once again. We don't have to settle for what the world offers. And right now the world is offering us what? Anxiety, fear, conspiracy theories. All this angst. Maybe some of it's true, maybe some of it's not. Who knows? But what we know is true, that Christ is Lord. And that he reigns in heaven supreme with the Heavenly Father. And by saying yes to this invitation, by being faithful to his commandments, we will live with him forever. Whenever we die, today or in 50 years, the promise is for each one of us to be in heaven with Jesus forever. This is our hope, and this is our joy. Let's pray for the grace to be men and women, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of hope. The one who has hope lives differently. Let's go live differently. Amen.